Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hug Me, Brother, a Team Nick podcast. I'm Rob, and here with me today is my Snuggie-wearing best friend for the audio listeners who don't know. He's wearing a Snuggie right now, Dylan.
Present. What's up, people?
What do you represent? The camera's not picking it up, Dylan, for the audio listeners. What's the label
it's
say?
It's a green Snuggie.
Oh, sick. Is it for
green, like dark forest green.
Okay. Is it for Green Bay? I know you're a big Packers fan.
No. But I'm glad you made that connection.
Okay. Hug Me, Brother is the weekly show where we take a deep dive into the wide world of Team Nick show by show, one episode at a time. So come watch along with us and share the love. On today's episode, we'll be covering the second episode of Drake and Josh, Dune Buggy. The show's available on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. If you enjoy the show, make sure to leave nice reviews for us on iTunes and comments on YouTube. It will help us get into more eyes and ears, which in turn will get you more episodes of this show. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HugMeBrotherPod. So, Dylan, what's new?
Last night I watched the dreadful debate between the people fighting for the New Jersey governor spot. So that was really interesting. Okay. But other than that, you know, just living the dream, Rob. It's Dune Snuggy time.
Okay.
It's not Dune
okay.
Buggy time. It's Dune Snuggy time. I'm feeling fresh. You know, I haven't worn this in like 10 years, but it's okay. No, I'm comfortable. That's all that matters, right? And you're looking mighty splendid too, might I say so myself.
Thank you for the audio listeners. I'm wearing a baseball shirt right now. I'm a big fan of the three-quarter sleeve baseball shirt.
I don't know how you can't like baseball tees. They're like one of my favorite styles.
Yeah, I love them. Honestly, this is a hand-me-down from my older brother, and the second I got it, I'm like, yo, this is one of my favorite shirts. So
yeah, it works for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. The Snuggie's working for you too.
Thank you. I just wear this every day. I should wear it to work, you know.
Yeah. going to the office, people are wearing fucking suits and ties, and you're just like, yeah. Oh man, casual Tuesday.
Put my laptop in this giant pocket on the side.
First off, from the top, me and Dylan want to thank you guys. The show, as of recording, the show officially launched. The first two episodes came out a few days ago, and the response has been absolutely overwhelming. We're so happy that so many of you are here now, and yeah, we're just happy you're here. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff planned for the coming weeks, months, hopefully years, before me and Dylan have a bitter creative breakup and hate each other and, you know, TMZ scooping us.
We know it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, it's not a matter of
Rob's going to get tired of me wearing the Snuggie. He's just going to be like, you got to take that shit off. It's not professional.
Yeah, because the
TMZ is going to come in.
Because if there's one thing, this show is professional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The most professional you'll ever see.
So, last week, Dylan, you revealed that this episode, Dune Buggy, is your favorite season one episode. So how are you feeling going into this?
Yeah, you are correct on that. I'm feeling really pumped. I mean, I wore this for it's a special occasion. I wore this for a reason, not just because it's comfortable and I look great in it, but you know, this is one of my favorite episodes. You gotta live it up.
For sure.
I'm very, very excited. I had to have watched this like four times in preparation.
Did you actually?
No, more like two.
Okay. I was gonna say.
Well, I'm trying to keep the listeners on their toes.
Okay.
Don't be surprised. You know.
I mean, I'm sure when like Drew and Jerry and the bet come around. 10 times, yeah. 100 times at least. You know.
Yeah, you gotta really absorb the material, you know,
the deep characters.
like you're studying for a test.
Yeah,
it's finals week.
Yeah, I mean, the whole trick with this show is that at the end of every episode we're going to give you a quiz, and if you fail, you lose your house, your wife, your husband, your kids,
your mortgage.
Yeah, all everything. Of it just gets liquidated and just comes straight to us.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, exactly, and that's how we make it big.
Yeah, so before we move on, I just want to correct something that I said in the first episode last week. I started looking at the number of episodes that certain characters appear in, how we were saying in the first episode that all these side characters, I think I said Mindy shows up in like half the episodes after she's first introduced. Mm. And like we're saying, oh, all of Drake's girlfriends show up like a bunch of different times. Mindy shows up in like 7 episodes. most of the characters show up like 4 or 5 times. Like, we were totally off base. Other than like Helen and Craig and Eric, we were way off base. But their presence is just felt. But this research, Dylan, introduced me to what will be the second great mystery of the Hug Me Brother podcast. The first one being, of course, the tennis balls dropping from the ceiling in the fucking title sequence for the show. On IMDb, it listed these people. Then on the Drake and Josh wiki, it listed these people. There's two characters that are listed that don't exist on the show, okay? So there's an actor named...
You mean you never see them?
Correct.
Okay.
There's an actor named Vince Diedrich Jr. He's listed as a character named Wade Shea, okay? Apparently, according to all this external information, he shows up in 16 episodes. That puts him, his count of times appearing, more than characters like Craig, Crazy Steve, and Helen. So I think we'd remember a character named Wade showing up. I figured, you know, maybe I'm just an idiot, so let me Google it. Maybe I'm forgetting a character. Googling Wade Shea, Drake and Josh. Vince Diedrich, Drake and Josh. Not showing up. Okay?
Uh-huh.
There's another character named, or another actress named Rachel Martinez. She's listed as a character named Nancy, and she shows up apparently in 6 episodes, which, for context, is only one less than Mindy. So, I took it, you know, a step further, Dylan. Not only did I Google it, I was like, okay, maybe I'm messing up. So then I started searching the other Teen Nick shows for characters with these names. Okay, Nancy, obviously that one I kind of threw out because it's just the first name. But Wade Shea, and the only thing I could come up with is stuff from iCarly because Carly's last name in that show is Shea.
Of course.
But there's no pictures of these people. This is like an open mystery right now. I have quite literally no idea who these people are.
I mean, they gotta just be like extras, right?
But why would you have a first and last name? Because that's what I thought too. But why give them a first and last name?
This like, why wouldn't you just call them like person, or like how in the pilot it was like nerd number one, nerd number two.
Yeah, exactly.
Like now they actually have names. But I guess they're recurring enough where you're like, okay, we'll just give you a name. Like it's some actor on the set. It's like Timmy's like, yo, come over here. Like you've been in a few episodes. Like. You want a name? Sure. How's Wade sound? Oh, perfect. Yeah, that works.
I mean, like, that's what it would have to be, right? Because, I mean, this isn't like Star Wars where this fucking background character, it's like, yeah, here's a blue elephant in the background of the bar in episode 6. His name is Max Rebo. It's like, no, Drake and Josh isn't like that. So I was really thrown for a loop. So that's the second mystery of this show. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to have to do some deep diving on that.
Okay. All right.
I was getting in touch with my sources.
all my
external sources.
Okay. Jerry Trainer himself.
On the
call
on
him
the Drake and Josh market.
Call him on the set of the iCarly reboot.
Yeah. It's like, dude, stop what you're doing. The shit's important.
So, season 1, episode 2, Dune Buggy was released on January 18th, 2004. It's the second episode of the show, but it actually, if what I'm understanding is correct, is the last episode that was put into production and filmed for the season. Because I was doing research another day, because, like we've mentioned, it's a two-man cult. The Drake and Josh research is just continually rolling on. And I found a list of the episodes and, like, what their airing order was, and then their production code next to it. So, the way a production code works, the pilot episode would be 101 because it's the first season, first episode in production, second episode made would be 102, 103, and so on. There are 6 episodes in season 1. This is 106 in the order. And for shows that don't have an overarching plot, like this happens all the time. Those episodes air out of order. So this isn't like it's not really a uncommon thing for stuff to happen, but it was just interesting to point out, because looking at it through that lens, that this is the last episode they did, if my understanding is right, this stuff is all finally coming to a head with Josh vocalizing how Drake gets away with everything, because every episode leading up to that, all the other episodes of season one are just Drake getting away with stuff over and over and over. So it feels like it's coming to a head, and I feel like this episode's a little more polished than the rest of the season one episodes, you know? But in the release order, it's just a fun episode of Josh adjusting to living with Drake.
What's the so what's the last episode that aired in season one?
Grammy.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense for the canon, because Grammy, of course, gives Drake the coupon for the haircut, and then Drake gets a different haircut and keeps that haircut for the rest of the show. He gets the bowl cut.
That's really good.
That's why they really did it. That's why they did it in that order.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But now that that little interesting factoid is out of the way, let's roll on into the episode. What do you say, Dylan?
I say we do it.
All right. So
I say we are a go.
The opening story of this episode is Josh basically lamenting that Drake gets away with everything, he never gets in trouble, and that for once, he just wishes that he could get away with something. And then the main episode starts with Drake and Josh getting the dune buggy dropped off by Drake's friend's older brother, Trevor. The only thing is that the car is a total wreck. It's in shambles. It doesn't run. Now, Dylan, I gotta say, Trevor, I know last week I said Buck was a stock character and he sucked. Trevor, totally stock character. Love him.
Dude, he's excellent. The best stock, he's the best stock character in the show.
Yes.
By far. Yes. Like, it's not even, dude, it's not even close. But this is the only episode he appears in.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. No, yeah.
Exactly. Because I was just about to say, I feel like he shows up so much more, because I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be Scotty's brother, and Scotty is in Drake's band. You see him a few times. Yeah. But
and they're both dumb as bricks.
Yeah. And they show up. I mean, Scotty shows up, I think, like 3 or 4 times. But Trevor only
shows
up.
Season one, though, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, I think only season one.
But then Trevor shows up only in the one episode, but he's just mentioned a bunch. So it makes him sound like he shows up way more. And, you know, like I said, he's a totally generic stock character. But as far as, like, stock characters go that they don't really do anything to change, I really like Trevor. I think he's endearing. I mean, I think it says a lot that me and you both thought he showed up a little bit more than he did for the rest of the show, that he left that kind of impact.
So. Yeah, because he's name dropped so many times as Drake's dumb friend.
Yeah.
Like, what I remember, what was it season 4, I think, the wedding?
Yep.
The wedding episode.
Exactly. I was when, just about to say.
Yeah. They need a car because they're stranded, and they're like, oh, what about Trevor? We'll borrow his car. And Josh is like, his girlfriend sleeps in it.
She's sleeping in some other guy's like, car now.
Yeah, she's sleeping in some other guy's car now. Yeah. So, yeah, and then I think he's also referenced in, like, the episode about where
Josh hits Oprah. I think
the driver's license.
Phone.
Oh, is he on the phone? Oh,
I didn't even know that. On the phone.
I was going to say the episode with the driver's license where Drake says, like, Trevor's has pet cobras that are going to fight each other, or
yes.
That's Scotty.
Yes.
It's one of them. But yeah. Those are the only ones I can remember off the top of my head.
But yeah, no, he's talked about so much that me and you just filled in the gaps. We Mandela affected him into this the rest of the entire
show. Yeah, you expect to see him more.
Yeah.
Because he's talked about so much.
Yeah. So from there, as we do every episode, we launch into the greatest TV intro of all time, with Drake Bell singing the beautiful song, I Found a Way. And I ask myself the same question I ask myself every week, Dylan. What the hell is this scene with the tennis balls falling from the ceiling? We'll never know, Rob.
We'll never know. It's one of the great mysteries of planet Earth.
I'm going to ask this every week until I get some answers. We can will this answer into existence, Dylan.
Yeah.
So
the Sphinx buries that. any mystery you could ever think of, JFK assassination, forget it. Throw it in the garbage. This is what we need to focus on.
We need to pool
all the government resources together.
All the governments in the world. Every nation's governments. Yeah.
Yeah.
For this children's show theme song.
We need to build a new what was that old library that got like destroyed?
The Library of Alexandria.
Yeah, we need to build a new one of those, but just solely dedicated to this issue.
We take every individual pixel from the frame and analyze it. We do
Yeah.
the fucking Jason Bourne. Oh, enhance on the on every pixel. We get the reflection
Yeah,
of Dave Snyder
exactly.
in the camera, like laughing.
He's like, ha ha, you'll never figure it out.
It's a deep. You play the clip backwards, and he's like, "You'll never get it, fuckers."
Robin Dillon, you idiot.
All right, so. Josh researches how to repair the Doom Buggy. Drake gets impatient and starts smacking him with the pillow. Josh retaliates in the most dramatic way possible and throws the pillow back at Drake, but he misses and nails a glass of root beer that Drake puts on top of the TV. Because for all you youngins watching the show that don't remember, TVs used to be boxes, used to be cubes. They weren't flat screens. They weren't always like that.
I'm sure some of the youngins know the ones who play like Super Smash Bros. Because it looks better on the box TV than it does on a flat screen. So they might,
All those
but
game the game collectors and the Drake and Josh fans,
yeah,
the crossover is a perfect circle.
all my Nintendo geeks out there, I got your back. Don't you even worry.
For those of you who don't know Dylan, big GameCube collector. Me, massive
Huge
PS3
correction.
collector.
Correction, huge GameCube collector. The biggest.
And I'm sure that will manifest itself once we get into the game sphere at some
Oh
point.
yeah. Oh yeah.
I also just want to point out the way Josh throws this pillow back at Drake is quite literally the most dramatic throw in the history. Whew. Is he swimming? Yeah. You're like, Jesus.
Just you like just some weird like
Yeah, it's like not even
I was gonna say
efficient.
sh just some weird like double-handed shot put.
Yeah.
Ah.
So, anyway, the TV starts smoking and Drake convinces Josh to lie so he doesn't get in trouble. Audrey tries to turn the TV on and Josh starts to lie through his teeth in an attempt to get her to not do that. But Josh is awful at lying, so Audrey finds out and grounds him for not breaking the TV, but because he lied. Later, Josh fixes the Doom
Classic
buggy.
Audrey.
Yeah, classic Audrey with her name. That's so unimportant that it never even gets said.
Yeah.
So later, Josh is fixing up the Doom buggy, and Drake tells him that he didn't get in trouble for lying. He got in trouble, Dylan. Why'd he get in trouble?
Lying badly.
Exactly. So they put that aside and eventually restore the Doom buggy. Not only does it look great, it actually runs. Their parents come into the garage and tell them that they're not allowed to drive it because they don't have turn signals, they don't have their driver's license, and when they go on vacation to the lake, like that summer, I think, at that point they can drive it wearing bubble wrap slowly with helmets on.
You know what that made me think of is like, has anyone ever used I know if like your taillights are out, you do that, right? Like you do,
Yeah,
what
the
is this?
turn
Is this
signal,
left? Is this left?
I
And then I
think.
think this is right or
Yeah.
something like that. I've always
Yeah.
wanted to do that. And then straight is like,
Willingly,
yeah.
it's the
Just
fist,
like
I
fuck with
think.
people.
Yeah. I have a few thoughts on this scene, Dylan.
Okay.
So,
Lay it
most
on
of
me.
my thoughts on this scene specifically are about Walter. So, when they start playing the radio and then Audrey and Walter come into the garage, Walter has this really understated moment, okay, on his face where he's just like, wow. They really did it. I'm like really proud of them. And Audrey just shoots it down. She's like, no, you gotta discipline them. But like, it's so nice to see him before he turns into an absolute weirdo. Like we said in the first episode where characters just devolve over every sitcom. It's nice to see him just being a semi-normal dad. And I feel like in a lot of the early episodes, a lot of the comedy comes from him being the normal one.
Yeah, he
Even
slowly devolves into a simp as like the series goes on.
And even like the stuff later in the episode where he's like teaching Drake how to wrestle and stuff, like the comedy doesn't come from Walter being a goofball. The comedy comes from Walter being like, yeah, I'm pile driving Drake, who's like about to die.
Yeah. No, I noticed that too. He was almost hesitant, you know what I mean? Like he was
Yeah.
like, "Whoa, like maybe we should just,
Yeah.
let it go." And then Audrey has to, classic Audrey's got to shut it down. Oh,
Classic Audrey.
Oh my god.
If we ever get
What a
merch,
bit. What a
classic
bitch.
Audrey, that should be a shirt.
Yeah, it should.
Also, the song that they play in the dune buggy when they turn on the radio is Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous by...
Wait, can I... Is that on Spotify?
Yes, it
I'm
is.
Save that. Hold on, I'm going to save it. What
For
was it
sure.
Called?
Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous by Good Charlotte, which is why the episode isn't on Hulu, but somehow it is on Paramount Plus. Regardless, tremendous song. Hopefully, pop punk returns to mainstream prominence like it was when we were young lads. So we get more songs like that, just, you know, around, and we get more concerts like that.
Once this podcast soars above the Impulsive Podcast, we'll use that clout to bring back pop punk.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
And it's gonna be easy. You hear me, Logan Paul? It's easy as fuck. You're going down.
So later, Drake tries to convince Josh to take the dune buggy out for a spin when their parents aren't home, but Josh isn't having it. So Drake goes to the garage and pretends to drive it and makes the sounds and everything. Has a whole scenario play out where he's like, hey, baby, let's go to the supermarket. Oh, you want to pull over and kiss? Yeah, sure, you know? And at which point, Trevor shows up, and he's amazed that they got the dune buggy running. So Drake and him decide to go for a spin and crash the car immediately. Drake goes to the ER, and the doctor tells him that he's sprained, bruised, but ultimately he will feel better in a couple weeks. But in the meantime, he's going to be very sore. So, this scene in the garage, Dylan, of Drake pretending to drive the dune buggy is so important. This is the second episode. It's so important in being like, hey, Drake is a person. Because Drake is a dork in the way that literally every 15, 16-year-old is a dork when nobody's around. Because everyone's like that when nobody's around.
It's like in the way that like the middle school kid makes out with his pillow. You know, he's he's having his alone time. You know, he's sweet talking it. That's really what it reminds me of. He's just having fun in there, you know?
Yeah. Especially like when Josh has the same idea later and he's like, nah, that's kind of stupid. It's like such an underrated way to showing that he like also kind of knows that it's dorky and that he's like a real
They're more
person.
Similar. They're more similar than they let on.
Exactly.
You know, or at least more similar than Drake lets on.
Yeah, because like if this was any other show, and I know I said something like this last week, if this was any other show, they just make Drake so ridiculously cool. You know.
Yeah. But like too cool.
Yeah.
Too cool.
But the fact that they have the little stuff like that is just the chef's kiss. That in a. Yeah. Making the show just the absolute perfection it is. So, Drake decides to pretend nothing happened in the meantime, covering the dune buggy with a tarp and putting makeup on his bruises and cuts so nobody knows what happened. Drake tries to fake it, but after a while, the hospital calls, and Josh picks up the phone, and they tell him that Drake left his wallet there after the dune buggy accident. So, there's also a part I missed, which is... I forgot this scene existed, where he walks into the kitchen or the living room, and Walter's like, oh my god, Megan fell asleep when we were gardening, and he's like carrying her, and he's like, Drake, carry her upstairs, and he grabs her, and he's like, oh,
she's heavy,
and he starts crying. They're like, Drake, are you crying? And he's just like, she's just so cute, and then he like kneels down. He's like, we could just leave her here and watch her.
Yeah. You know, in hindsight, that line, I know we said we didn't want to talk about this. We want to talk about this as least as we possibly could. But in hindsight, that combined with the Dan Schneider allegations is just a really weird line. Like, I was watching that back and I was like, that's just off. You know? But also, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
So, I want to ask you your opinion on this. Yeah. So, you remember, he gets the call, right? He walks in. They're like, oh, Drake forgot his wallet, da da da.
Yeah.
Right before he does that. He's like about to take the tarp off the buggy.
Yep.
What is the purpose of that scene?
I think it's
like I was just trying to.
I think it's quite literally just to make tension that you're like, oh my god, he's gonna see it, and then the phone rings, you're like, oh my god, he's not gonna see it.
Yeah. Who knew Dan Schneider should have been making thrillers this whole time? Just the suspense. I was like, oh my god, he's gonna lift up the tarp.
So. Josh, who's tired of Drake getting away with everything, tells Walter that he's going to try out for the wrestling team and asks him to show him some moves. And in the most corny-ass way possible, he's like, oh, Dad, don't do the moves on me. I can't watch. Do them on Drake. And Drake's like, I'd rather not. So, again, two episodes in a row, Walter shows a surprising degree of athleticism and just pins Drake, okay?
He lifts him up. Like, yeah, he's just...
This is what we call the full Nelson. So...
Walter, an avid WWE fan.
Yeah, massive. He watched it the most when it was the Attitude Era, you know? So he's a big holdover from that. If Audrey didn't break it up and stop it, he'd get in his face and be like, you're not man enough, Drake.
I feel like Walter's a big Stone Cold Steve Austin fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Just give Drake a stunner. RKO.
If he kept going, he would have jumped off the chairs.
Yeah. From the top turnbuckle.
So, Drake gets super pissed and tells Josh to go up to the room with him. And Drake starts to yell at Josh, but he quickly flips it on Drake, saying to him that the TV and Josh lying is Drake's fault. And that it's kind of messed up that he destroyed the Doom Buggy and is hurt, but Drake is just like, oh yeah, it's kind of just all about me. And Josh is like, yo, you should fess up. And Drake's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And Josh is like, okay, keep worrying about yourself. And Dylan, 2 weeks in a row, Josh gives another great performance in this scene. And this scene really shows, if this was the last one filmed, just how comfortable they are being their characters by this point, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like in the pilot with the Miss Nancy thing, where he's actually like, you can really feel the anger. Like, he's pissed.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like we don't see him that mad, and again, until like maybe the Foam Finger episode or something, when they're like actually like pissed at each other.
Yeah.
In that way.
But it's like a different kind of mad. I feel like in season one, he's like disappointed mad. And then as it goes on, it's just more of like, oh, he's funny mad.
It's more of like, I'm mad about this, but like, I'll get over it kind of thing. Like, I'm mad for a stupid reason. In season one, it's like legitimately, you could tell, it's like, okay, this is a big fight. Like, it's making him so mad that anger is turning into then like disappointment and sadness, you know? Like, he's like, it's almost like, what's the point? And he just walks out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Drake goes downstairs and fesses up to everything, and Josh is just reveling in Drake's misery, and he and Megan are like so pumped that Drake is about to get in trouble, but Drake doesn't immediately get in trouble, okay? So the parents actually turn on Josh, and they're like, you knew about this, and you had Walter wrestle him? But then Drake's like, yo, go easy on him. He's a good kid. Then Drake fesses up to the TV and having Josh lie about it. And Walter and Audrey finally ground Drake, and he's pumped. But Dylan, in this scene, okay, this is the point in the episode when I'm like, yo, this episode's like almost over, where I realized Megan doesn't prank them in this episode. This is one of the very few episodes. The only other one I could think of off the top of my head is the wedding episode where they get stranded on the side of the road, where Megan like has no bearing whatsoever on the plot, no prank, no anything. I think Megan, all she says in this episode is, I'm telling mom. Like, she has three words, and that's it.
When did she even say that? I don't remember.
When Drake is, like, drinking the family juice, and then he leaves the room, Josh goes, you know what, I'll try. And he tries drinking it, and then Megan just, like, walks, and she goes, I'm telling mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, like, the only time she talks.
Yeah, and then the only other two times she shows up is when she's sleeping.
Yeah, and at the end, at the table.
Right, at the end, yeah.
So, from there, I was just like, huh, they really aren't going to do anything with Megan. Okay, if this was like a season 3 or 4 episode, they would have gotten the crash like immediately, and Megan would have like manipulated Drake and Josh into like fighting each other.
Yeah. Like, I feel like in the later seasons, they always tried to include her in some way.
Yeah.
Whether it's like pranking or I don't, just in some one way or another, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, first episode, she does like a little prank, and that's really it. And then this episode, she really doesn't do much of anything.
Yeah. So The final scene of the episode is Drake in bed with Josh serving him, telling Josh that he's pumped he's grounded, no school and slacking off for 2 weeks. Sounds like a great time. What could be better? And continuing from Josh always getting the short end of the stick, he basically has to serve Drake the entire time. So
the whole family's just slaving away.
Yeah.
So
this scene, Dylan, is what makes this episode click for me. Because this is also Josh's comeuppance. Because it was ultimately Josh's fault for throwing the pillow. It was Josh's choice to lie. Like, Drake is very obviously at fault, but Josh is also at fault. Saying, like, oh, Josh, you're completely absolved of everything. No, dude, you threw the pillow, you broke the TV, you lied about it. You know, like, this isn't mm-hmm. your first rodeo in this house. This isn't your first rodeo. So I feel like if they absolved Josh of everything, it would take away, like, his agency. You know, it would be like, oh, yeah, Josh didn't know what he was doing. Like, he was an idiot or something.
Right, right.
But, yeah, his actions have consequences, and that is what makes this episode click for me. Because if Josh didn't get something like that, I'd be like, okay. So, consequences just don't exist.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because, you know, like, Drake kind of will just do things. Like, whatever he's doing, he's dead set on it. So, like, he's never, there's no, like, him wrestling with, like, a moral, I mean, I guess you can say he was morally conflicted in this episode, just trying to figure out whether to confess or not. But most of the time, Drake just does whatever the fuck he wants, and that's it. But with Josh, you know, like, he always says, like, oh, I tried to do the right thing. But in this episode, I mean, like, he did choose to lie, right?
Yeah.
And, like, he had Walter wrestle Drake when he was hurt. I mean, like, the fact of the matter is they both did wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
Dylan. This episode is over, except for the deleted scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This scene is short. It's just Drake injured, like, kind of limping, bringing in bags of groceries. It's actually the scene from the intro when Drake, like, falls on the floor in the kitchen.
That is
like, where that scene is from. It's simple. It's quick. I get why they cut it, but it makes me think that maybe they were going to have, like, a montage of Drake trying to do normal people things and just eating shit at all of them. And I think that would have been funny. I think that's a missed opportunity if they didn't at least try to do something like that. But that's where it's from. There's no mystery with where that came from in the intro.
Yeah, yeah. You think you wanted them to include that, you think?
I mean, it would have been neat. Like, if this was, say, like, a Netflix show where they weren't constricted by time, like how on Nickelodeon every episode had to be the exact same amount of time. Like, sure, yeah, it would have been neat. It would have been probably this episode's random tangent, like, scene that doesn't really fit in the story that all the early Drake and Josh episodes have. But, I mean, I get why they cut it.
Yeah.
Do you think they should have kept it?
Nah, I feel like it would have been too much, because, like, we already get the point with the few scenes that, like, Drake is wrestling Walter and, you know, and he's like, hurting himself. When Trevor, like, hits him in the hospital when he falls down and gets hurt. Like, I feel like you don't want to overdo the gag, you know? So I feel like it was good that they cut it. But it is funny. Yeah. Like, it's still hilarious, you know?
And it's,
but I think they made the right choice there.
And it's Drake doing physical comedy, which we don't really see that much until at least later on.
Classic slapstick.
Yeah. So, other than that, that's Dune Buggy. What did you think, Dylan? Did it live up to your lofty expectations?
Dude, it exceeded my expectations. It exceeds my expectations every time I watch it, dude. I went into it, I was like, this is going to be the greatest episode ever. And then I came out of it, I was like, this is greater than the greatest episode ever.
It transcended time and space to surpass it on the list.
It took me to another planet, dude.
Okay.
Maybe have an existential crisis.
Oh, really?
But no, in all seriousness, it's definitely, I think it's the best episode of season one, or at least my favorite.
Yeah.
Probably only rivaling, like, Grammy. But, you know, we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought, you know, like, obviously it kind of reiterates that lesson of, Drake is always the one to get away with everything, and Josh is the one who's trying to like impose his moral code of conduct onto Drake, or at least not necessarily, maybe not necessarily impose, but trying to just let him know where he's coming from. Basically saying like, look, dude, like it's cool that you like to have fun and all, but you're making me look like a big jamoke. Like convincing me to lie and all that shit. 'Cause I mean, like, they're brothers, so Josh, like, there's gonna be some peer pressure there. Like Josh likes Drake and he wants to like kind of, he doesn't want to get in trouble, He obviously looks up to Drake in some regard, which is why Drake was able to convince him to lie. Like, if some random person just came up to me and was like, you should lie about this, you should like lie about your I don't know, your name or like your age, I'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Real name, Gary.
Like, yeah. But if my brother told me to do that, I'd be like, maybe, might consider it. But yeah, I think the theme of the episode is great. They really hammer it down pretty well with the fight at the end, and overall, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5?
Yep.
Well, Dylan.
Six out of five.
Well, Dylan, I'm pretty close in agreement to you. I'm like, if our two reviews of this episode were Venn diagrams, it would be mostly a circle and we'd just have the little overhangs on the side. Because I think this episode is one of the better of the season. Obviously, it's a short season, but and I get why it's your favorite. All of the rough edges, because if this was the last one, it really seems like it. All of the rough edges of the pilot are ironed out. And really, the only thing missing to make this like a quintessential Drake and Josh episode is some sort of prank from Megan. You know? Where it's them together, they're fighting, they're not fighting, they're fighting, episode resolves. But there's no Megan prank in there to break it up. That's the only thing missing.
The Megan prank would complete the formula of a Drake and Josh episode, a
Exactly.
traditional Drake and Josh episode.
Precisely. Precisely. So, Dylan, what do you think is the moment of the episode?
Objectively, I mean, objectively, you gotta go with that ending scene, right? I mean, it's kind of similar to like the Miss Nancy thing, where there's actually character development there, where Josh is basically venting. He's like, saying how you got me in trouble and this and that. But like, my personal favorite moment of the episode is probably when Trevor first shows up, or like when they're in the hospital room, just because Trevor's just is such great comedic relief in that episode when he's like in the buggy and he's like, it's like
You know where this would sound great?
He's like, oh yeah. He's like, the motor sounds great. You know where it'd sound even better? In the shower. Like, the most, dude, like, they get me with the most random fucking lines, dude. I swear.
For
It's
sure.
not even an inherently funny line by itself, but it gets me every time. I'm like, dude, like, who thought of this in the writer's room?
It's just the delivery. It's like Drake. That actor is like Drake, where it's just the delivery, you're just like, this shouldn't be funny. This is so ridiculously dumb. This should not be funny.
Yeah. It just goes to show how my brain functions. What does it
It says you're a man of taste because you also enjoy Trevor as a character.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I really wish he made more appearances. We gotta get dude, let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
Let's do
that'd be
it. Can
wild.
I find his agent?
Like how you found Sean Flynn's agent.
Just in
One day,
digging.
we'll when we get big enough, we will have people on this podcast.
For sure.
My favorite moment of the episode, there's two. It's tied. It's basically the same joke for both of them, but the scene where Drake is trying to carry Megan and he literally just falls to his knees in the most dramatic way possible. As if he's reenacting a scene from the Bible.
He's on his knees.
he's like cradling Megan. It's like when Jesus is off the cross and Mary's holding him. So,
Oh my God. It's so accurate, dude.
so that scene and Walter wrestling Drake, those two are, I think, it's just so over the top. in a show that is pretty over the top to begin with. But
yeah,
just
yeah.
The way Walter just pile drives him, he doesn't just pile drive him, he spears him to the ground. Like the angle he's at, Drake should be paralyzed.
He picks him up.
Yeah.
He picks him up in the air and he like drops him on his head.
Drake should not only should he be like, oh, I'm very sore. He like after that, if Walter didn't stop, if Audrey didn't break it up, Drake might be Drake and Josh might have been a very different show because Drake probably would have been like a wheelchair.
Would have been like
he would have been injured. Yeah. He would have had a life-changing injury.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's just like Wheelchair Jimmy from their point on.
Yeah. Also played by someone named Drake.
Yep. Exactly. We're tying it all together now.
He's going to get the little heart shaved in the side of his head.
And he gets even more girls.
His music career turns from rock to rap. He just turns into the rapper Drake and Josh Cannon.
Yeah.
So, Dylan, now we move on to the MVP of the episode. And I have a feeling we have the same MVP.
Hold on.
Because
let me just verify that my answer is what I really
okay. Because
I think it should be.
Mine is Trevor. Because
okay.
Because, like I said earlier, he's a character that I assume showed up way more after only showing up once. And I feel like that says a ton that he's that memorable with all told probably 5 minutes of screen time for the entire show.
Yeah.
So Trevor is probably mine.
I mean, is it even any question? Like, of course I agree with you. he shows up and every scene he's in, he steals a scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so good. Especially I love him in the hospital where he's talking to the doctor
about the brain scans.
Yeah, about the brain scan. Doctor's like, you might want to get a brain scan. He's like, no thanks, my folks make me get one every month.
That doctor,
what do you think is
great.
What do you think his IQ is?
What is like just above functioning, like able to function in society? Because it's probably 1 point below.
Yeah. I'm gonna take a shot in the dark and say like 42. Didn't I say that about Buck? I think 42
maybe
is my go-to.
Maybe.
I think of a different one. You think he's smarter than Buck? That's
Ooh,
a question.
Okay.
You think he's smarter than Buck?
You're asking the real questions, Dylan. What the listeners want to know is side character A smarter than side character B? And I think, well, look, Trevor. I mean, look, the Doom Buggy didn't run, okay? And Trevor pushes the Doom Buggy into the garage. This is a walk. Take it with me, okay? Pack a lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
So Trevor pushes the Doom Buggy into this garage because it doesn't run.
Right.
And it's not like you could just throw the Doom Buggy in the backseat of a car. Mm-hmm. So that means Trevor had to have pushed the Doom Buggy from his house all the way to the Parker Nichols residence, okay?
I never thought about that.
He had to push it all the way there. So on that alone, I feel like Buck is smarter than Trevor. Because, like, Drake and Josh, they're pacing in the garage. They would have seen a tow truck, like, towing this thing, you know? So, unless Trevor got it towed, which still, that doesn't make sense because I don't think the Doom Buggy would be strong enough to even, like, make that trip because it's, like, falling apart. But, yeah, the fact that Trevor had to have pushed the Doom Buggy anywhere between a house over and a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 10 miles over. We don't know where Trevor lives, so.
That might not mean he's dumb. It might just mean he's meant to work with his hands. You know, like, maybe he's just not a book smart kind of guy.
I mean, that's fair enough, but he also didn't understand the concept of it being the car. Any thoughts about next week's episode, Dylan? Because if you're watching along with us, next week's episode is let's check over here. Believe Me, Brother.
Now that is a thematic episode right there. that's got some
some heavy themes.
Yeah, I can't think of the other one. What, like motifs?
Motifs.
Motifs. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of like the list of things in like Spark Notes when you read a book. It's like motifs and all this shit.
When you
Who
read a book
cares?
for school, aka Google, Mice and Men, Spark
Yeah,
Notes.
all you readers out there, I'm sure you could tell by now I haven't really read a good book in a long time. So
I mean, neither have I. So.
I'm more of a visual learner. See?
Okay.
So don't judge me. But yeah, that one should be good. I'd say it's about middle of the road for the season, you know. We'll get to it. But very important episode in the season.
About building trust between the two brothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yes, for
So
sure.
don't miss that one.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure to check back with us next week because we have hit the end of yet another episode of Hug Me Brother, a Teen Nick podcast. Hug Me Brother is the weekly show where we take a deep dive into the world of Teen Nick, show by show, one episode at a time. The show's available on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. If you can, please leave us nice reviews on iTunes, leave us nice comments and thumbs up on YouTube. It will help get the show out to more people and you'll get more of it. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HugMeBrotherPod. And any other parting words, Dylan, for the beautiful listeners?
And guys, if you don't tune in next week, I'm not wearing the Snuggie. I'm not wearing it ever again. So you better tune in, or I'm done with all of you. Just kidding. I appreciate you guys, but for real though, the part about the Snuggie, I'm not kidding. You're not gonna see anyone look as good as I did in the Snuggie. So you just gotta.
The audio listeners, this is a feast for the eyes, this episode.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one.